the volume.
The Colin Cowherd Podcast brought to you by FanDuel. It's never been easier to play fantasy on FanDuel. Whether you love basketball, golf, soccer, or any fantasy sport, there is a contest for every fan. FanDuel, more ways to win. This is Prime Cuts, the Best of Colin Cowherd Podcast, another must-listen week. Matt Mosley weighing in on the latest with the Dallas Cowboys. He's been covering them for years. It's great. Cardinal GM Steve Keim stopped by. So many fascinating decisions on Kyler Murray and Cliff Kingsbury and their undefeated record. Also, the inside story behind DeAndre Hopkins' trade. It's amazing. And Chad Millman tells me which way the sharps are leaning in a packed Week 6 NFL slate. But first, my top takes of the week, baby. You know, I got about 10 minutes here on John Gruden. So I worked briefly with John Gruden at ESPN. He reminds me a lot of Bobby Knight, who also worked at ESPN. So let me tell you a story about Bobby Knight and Gruden, who, as they lost their power, increasingly lashed out at others. So Bobby Knight worked at ESPN for years, was legendarily difficult. He would only work and surround himself with people who kissed the ring, because he could retain his power that way. You had to revere him, treat him with a certain level of respect. Bobby would only work with people who bowed down to Bobby to make him feel powerful. And as Bobby Knight started losing power and losing games and losing esteem later in his career, he was a really insecure guy who could no longer bully people. People didn't take him seriously. People mocked him. And he wasn't a winning basketball coach at the end. And it's very difficult when you've had power and you start to lose it. And sometimes men or people get desperate trying to retain it. So Bobby Knight, one time, they scheduled him for my radio show, The Herd, at ESPN Radio. And I said, fine. They said, there are certain questions you can't ask him. And I said, no, I'll ask him whatever I want to ask him. Bobby's not going to control the interview. The show's called The Herd, not the guest. I'll control the interview. Bobby wouldn't do it. So he went on Mike and Mike, a show that was more than willing, or certainly more willing, to allow Bobby certain liberties. I wouldn't do it. With Gruden, I had him on one or two times, but there were similarities with Gruden. When I go back and look at Gruden's career, like Bobby, is that Gruden only worked with a finite number of people at ESPN, a certain executive who would kiss the ring, a handful of producers or coworkers who would kiss the ring. And so, like Bobby Knight, as Gruden became a losing football coach in the NFL and moved further and further away from the Super Bowl, he started lashing out his people who didn't adore him or he viewed as a threat. I'll give you an example. So in these emails, he's ripping Roger Goodell. Well, Gruden was at his height in Oakland from 98 to 2001. He was boy genius. And then in Tampa from 2002 to about 2004 and 5. At the end, remember, he stayed until 2008, but he was losing at the end. So when Roger Goodell became commissioner in 2006, boy wonder was boy blunder. And Goodell didn't take kindly to old school losing coach Gruden on TV, often ridiculing him behind his back. John had a history, was pretty well known. This I can verify, kind of bad mouthing people who he saw as threats or in the way behind their back. He did that at ESPN. And then you go to Demoris Smith, who is negotiating 2011. And John Gruden is now, you know, he's lost games. He's been fired. He's just a TV guy. And Demoris Smith, educated, Virginia law, worked under Eric Holder, attorney general. John saw him as a threat because Demoris Smith wanted a less violent game to protect the players. And again, you're usurping power from John Gruden. This is where Bobby Knight and John Gruden are very similar. They're powerful. They're adored and beloved. As they start losing and lose that power, they lash out to people who are a threat and people that are not going to allow the NFL to run the way John sees it fit are a threat. And this is why Gruden struggles to adapt. And it kind of fascinates me. What I saw with those emails is a terribly insecure guy. And if you go look at the timeline of when a lot of these angry emails surfaced and who they're directed at, they are directed at people that are not willing to give John a pass, don't believe in his narrative, aren't going to elevate his power base. The NFL's gotten, by the way, much more analytical. John's much more rah-rah. There's a way to play the game. The world is requiring John and guys like Bobby Knight to be more tolerant, to be more thoughtful. If you look at Gruden's career and you look at Bobby Knight's career, it's largely the same. They're big, maybe in the 80s, right? It's the 90s, and the world changes, and they start losing, and people don't open doors for them, and people don't shudder in fear, and they lash out at those people. So, you know, John's approach to football, and let's be honest, he was losing at the end in Tampa, and he was losing in Oakland/Vegas. John's style is outdated. When you think of great offensive minds, Sean McVay, Sean Payton, Gruden's not considered in that class, and he doesn't like it. And I've always been sort of fascinated. You know, I should have a psychologist on. People in power lose it, and how do they react? And to me, Gruden and Bobby Knight, a lot of similar tendencies. Bullies. And once they lose power, the only way to retain it is harshly criticize those who challenge it. And just look at who Gruden took shots at. In fact, in a weird set of circumstances, total coincidence, I dated a woman years and years ago, 25 years ago. Her current husband worked for the Raiders briefly. And I was talking to her about 3 years ago. She had texted, and we were just going back and forth, really good person. And I said, hey, how's your husband doing with the Raiders? She said, oh, a year after Gruden took the job, he got out of there. It was so toxic. It was so alpha, so ridiculous. And her husband's, you know, a little more analytical, a little smarter person. And that was my first glimpse that it was kind of going sideways in Las Vegas/Oakland, but almost always ends poorly for people that can't adapt. The NFL's ability to evolve is actually one of its greatest qualities. There's a certain group of men who hate change. Years ago, when they made the penalties for overly violent plays more punitive, a lot of people pushed back. And the NFL would not listen. The NFL has been able to, over the course of 30 years, increase its fan base to 187 million Americans, according to research, and 43% of those are women. The game is safer, more forward-thinking, more inclusive, more analytical. Ratings are up. Revenue is up. The game has frankly evolved past John Gruden, and now he is literally out of the league. And I think all of us acknowledge today, look at Gruden's record. Last 3 years in Tampa, first 3 years and 5 games in Oakland and Vegas. He hasn't adapted. It's pretty obvious. So how's he retain his power? So something that's pretty obvious. It's almost like as a dad with my kids, I tell you how mature I think my kids are by the responsibilities I give my kids. That will tell you which kid I trust, which is good with money, which kid's good with responsibility. All kids are not the same. NFL coaches will tell you what they think about their quarterback's judgment and their quarterback's ability by their play calling. So Brandon Staley is the new coach of the Chargers. They go for it regularly in their own territory on fourth down because they have this immense trust in Justin Herbert, a 4-2 biology major, huge arm, great talent. And he's a kid, right? He's a kid. And that really, he's 8-1 in his last 9 games. And many of those have been decided by Herbert making big, late down plays, often on fourth down. The Cleveland Browns, Kevin Stefanski, is telling you what he thinks of Baker. So the Chargers offense is red hot. The Browns lead by 1, it's 3rd and 10. And they run the ball right into the line. You've got to be kidding me. So you're going to give Justin Herbert the ball back around midfield with his weapons at home and plenty of time. And he has roasted your defense for most of the day. I mean, again, if the game was 7-3 and you trusted your defense, I found it absolutely head-scratching. Kevin Stefanski, a really brilliant schematic coach, good with clock management, can't conveniently hide behind, yeah, I just couldn't see the clock. That's Mike McCarthy's excuse. You can't use that one. That's an indictment on Baker Mayfield. I mean, would you on 3rd and 10, do you think Brandon Staley runs that ball? Andy Reid with Mahomes, Sean McDermott with Josh Allen, Bruce Arians with Brady, Matt LaFleur with Aaron Rodgers, Mike McCarthy with Dak? Hell no. That's an indictment, and they're concerned with his judgment. And then, by the way, and I'm not trying to pick on him here because I thought he played mostly very well. And I picked Cleveland to win close. But then Baker gets it back and checks down with no timeout, is running down, and he's checking down, throwing 6-yard completions. Then he is left with 2 or 3 Hail Marys at the end of the game. And you're never going to get a pass interference calling a Hail Mary. Refs, it's like the last play of an NBA Finals. Refs are going to swallow the whistle. Refs don't want to decide a game on a Hail Mary. Doesn't matter who bumps into who. So Stefanski is telling me what he thinks of his quarterback. Now, we know that Stefanski prefers, I mean, we know this from their games together. He prefers to manage Baker Mayfield 27 to 32 throws. We know that. That's not an opinion by me. Baker plays better with a lead than trailing. Baker plays better managed than left to his own devices and judgment. But you know, and I know, of those two quarterbacks on the field, the Chargers coach has far more trust than Justin Herbert, who will go for it on 4th down, and Stefanski wouldn't even really, quote, go for it on 3rd down. On the road. You played a win on the road. Remarkable. I've said this recently on the show that I've always appreciated men specifically, because I think women can do this more easily, is admit they're wrong. And Steve Keim's been the GM for 8 years now in Arizona. He's been a scout personnel since 99. And scouts take great pride in getting it right. But Steve did something that's you just do not see in the NFL. I can't recall anything like it. He hired a coach and drafted a quarterback. And a year later said, all right, that shit ain't working. I'm going to go in a different direction. And Steve joins us. So now let's pivot to Kyler Murray. He was obviously exhilarating early. But you had to make a decision with your scouting background since 99 in Arizona. Obviously, he jumps off the tape a better athlete than Josh Rosen. But you had to bail on Josh. Was there a conversation or a moment or a piece of tape where you just went, I can't pass up on this. This is somebody, I'm going to regret this if I don't make a move on Kyler Murray.
Yes. And it was, I'll never forget, I was sitting in my office and I was watching him for the first time. And the first game I started with was Alabama. And if you went back and you watched the Oklahoma-Alabama game, you saw he actually struggled in the first half. They got after him. They rushed him. They didn't protect very well. Had to use his wheels a lot and struggled. Second half completely lit him up. And there was one play in particular where it was almost like a shortstop making a great throw to the first base after getting a ground ball. I'll never forget, he jumped up off of 1 foot and launched the ball about 55 yards with a strike in the end zone as for a touchdown. And maybe in my NFL career as a scout at that time, 22 years, I had never seen anything like it. You know, I never saw a guy that could run full speed and launch the ball off 1 foot and throw it with that kind of zip and juice and ball placement. I saw Pat Mahomes do some pretty rare and unusual things. But the way Kyler Murray did it, even though he was 5'10", to me just was special. And I think it's exactly what you said. Even regardless with Josh Rosen, I mean, I think the guy had potential. We took him with the 10th pick overall. And kind of like when you sit and you think to yourself, really, the big picture. If you were drafting in the NBA and you had Clyde Drexler, but you had a chance to draft Michael Jordan, would you do it? Yes. I mean, that player, Kyler Murray, to me, I thought was a generational talent. And I thought was the kind of guy that could propel this organization in the right direction the fastest.
That DeAndre Hopkins, that day you signed him, did you drive home thinking, holy shit, well, we got a guy.
It was terrifying because we agreed to the deal, Bill O'Brien and myself, and the pandemic hit. So a trade is not consummated until you have each player pass the physical. So lot, David right. Johnson and D-Hop had to pass physicals. We couldn't travel because of the pandemic. So we had to sit around on pins and needles. Number one, holding the secret that we have DeAndre Hopkins coming. And then two, the fact that it's not done until there's a physical. So you're always, you know, praying that this guy is going to pass the physical. And thank goodness they both did and it all worked out. But for about a month or maybe even 2 months, I had to sit on that with nobody knowing, no reports. And truly, there were days where I remember waking up and I remember calling Michael Bidwell and saying, we're really getting DeAndre Hopkins, aren't we? You know, like, really? Like, is this really real or am I dreaming? I mean, the pandemic was screwy enough. You know, you already had stuff going on in your mind. You were playing games with yourself, so.
College football season's in full swing. You can make every moment more with FanDuel Sportsbook. Right now, all customers, all of them, get a $10 parlay bet bonus. Just place a $20 parlay bet, $20 parlay bet, get a $10 bonus, win or lose. I like Texas to win and cover the spread against Oklahoma State. The Cowboys' offense is weak. Texas will score points. Miami at Carolina. I like Carolina to cover. I think Miami's in disarray as a program. Alabama bounces back, beats Mississippi State, even though they're on the road, covers the 17.5 point spread. College football. How good is this year been? Just unbelievable. Build your parlay bet any way you like with spreads, money lines, over and unders. Pick two out of three. FanDuel Sportsbook, easy to use. There's live betting. It's easy to place your bet faster in a game if you see a trend you like. Fast withdrawals when you win. FanDuel pays your winnings in as little as 24 hours. There's odds, boosts, and specials. Are you new to the FanDuel Sportsbook? Sign up today. The promo code's COLIN to receive a risk-free bet up to $1,000. Promo code COLIN so they know I sent you. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max bonus $10 plus $400 final price or longer required. 21 plus and present in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia or West Virginia. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Same game parlay available for multiple sports in all states on mobile/web. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Visit fanduel.com/RG in Colorado, Jersey, and Virginia. Or call 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. Tennessee Red Line is 1-800-889-9789. Or go to 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia. Or call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXT-STEP to 53342 in Arizona. All right, we saved the Cowboys talk for Matt Mosley, ESPN Fox Sports, Doomsday Podcast. By the way, the Volume has signed Matt Mosley. I am announcing it right now to a contract. I am going to have Matt Mosley at my disposal for almost as much as I need him, which is often because I think this Cowboy team is for real. And Matt Mosley makes me laugh and think. And those are my two favorite qualities on people. And I just love your work. And my friends love you. And I am so happy that you're going to be part of the Volume. And we'll talk about this more and more. But, you know, the high regard I hold you in. And for the record, I only have cocktails with friends and I poured a cold one for you, my friend. So delicious.
Can you tell me exactly what that is? Mm. What, I mean,
Grey Goose rocks with a touch of grapefruit. Oh, Mosley, it's so good. Man, it's so good. So listen, I know Daniel Jones got hurt, but you know, my wife was in the culinary business, Matt, for a long, long, long time. Her son's a chef. He's a terrific kid, great chef. And my wife's dad owned a lot of restaurants. My wife's a brilliant cook. And she always said, you eat with your eyes first. That's why there's no blue food. You eat with your eyes. The plate has to look the part. And I always trust my eyes first. My eyes are telling me this is the best Cowboy team in 10 years. I think they're fast. I had a real problem, Matt, before the season. I said they were paying too many good players great money. But by hitting on two draft picks, Micah Parsons, Trayvon Diggs, the books make more sense to me now. They're paying some O-linemen, Zeke, Dak, a top receiver, and a pass rusher. That's what you should pay in the NFL. And as I watched them play the Giants, even though Daniel Jones got hurt, I felt they were controlling the football game. I don't think it was nearly as close as the score indicated. And I don't think I'm being over the top here. They look the part. And I don't know who I trust in the NFC. I don't trust the Packers and the Buccaneers right now. I really don't.
Yeah, it's sort of exciting to think about. And you can imagine what this place is like when the Cowboys are really good. And there's fake good. And you could even hear it in Aikman's voice. Jimmy, right after the game, was trying to say, and he confused the whole set. He was trying to say that I think he was hinting that they might be good as the 90s Cowboys. I don't think he totally went that far, but I think he was leaning that way. And by the way, to be a part of Volume, we started talking about this like a year and a half ago.
Yes,
I was one of the first guys you talked to. And then you went and hired like 28 other people. And then you... And now you've brought me on. So I'm very excited about it, by the way. But to your point, there is something that seems way more believable about this team. And again, we can poke holes in anything. Go, well, wait, Carolina, they just got beat again. Or this team or the NFC East, they're going to beat up on some bad teams. And that is true. But I think you're right. Sometimes you have to trust your eyes. And there are some things about this team that sort of feel dominant. And the old Cowboys, that what would happen is something bad would happen. An interception, a fumbled snap when you're deep in an opponent's territory. And the rest of the game could be colored by those plays. And now that doesn't seem to be the case. And they seem to be overcome adversity. And one of the things that was made clear on that broadcast, and you and I have, I think, were the first. Let's claim that we were the first to sort of bring this up. They've been missing a lot of players.
Yes.
And that's the biggest difference in this team. They'll start to get some of those players back. But this thing went fine when they were three or four players down. And in the past, it's like, oh, my gosh, there's no way they can function without this guy and these players and this starter at right tackle. I mean, think about that. Years ago, they would lose Tyron Smith, for instance.
Yes.
And they might go out and give up seven sacks to one guy. Like, I think they got the guy from the Falcons a new contract several years ago based on one game. So we're seeing this. So, Colin, I mean, I agree with you. I've seen – now, I think it's too early to compare them to, like, the 90s Cowboys and all that business. We'll leave that to the hype artists. But I think you can seriously say this team has a shot.
Yeah, I mean, think about this. Their only loss is Tampa, and I think I would submit to you they outplayed Tampa. They have not had a bad game. Green Bay has, Kansas City has, Buffalo had a stinker early against Pittsburgh. The teams I like have all had a bad game. There's only a couple that haven't. I think the Chargers have mostly been the same team every week. They lost to Dallas, but they've been the same team every week. And the Cowboys. And the Cowboys beat that Chargers team. And it's interesting because they beat Cleveland now. And Cleveland's a top 5-6 roster. So let's go back to the Charger game for a second, because we know once Mike Glennon came in, the Cowboys are going to win this game at home. Let's go back to that Charger game. And we often do this, Matt, where the season goes on and then we go back and go, you know, that week 5 game or that week 6 game, that team is way better than we thought. Go back to the Chargers game. I felt from the very beginning, Dallas was the better team. I thought they were the only team. Do you know Justin Herbert's won 8 of 9 games? The Cowboys are the only team that have beaten him. They gave him some trouble. You go back and look at that Chargers game and how well they're playing. They went to Kansas City and beat the Chiefs. So take the Giants game out of it. That game to me is like, okay, they outplayed the Super Bowl champs on the road and they beat the Chargers on the road. This is a real football. I mean, go back to that game. I thought they were clearly better than a very good Charger team.
Yeah. And isn't it interesting? I wish you would stop rubbing it in with those long pores. Look like a heavy pore you have there. But you and I kind of do the same thing. We go back to certain games in the NFL, in NFL history, and that Tampa game might be something we end up going back to. And it almost had a, you know, the one I always go back to is at the end of that regular season where the Patriots looked like they were going to have the perfect season and the Giants gave them an unbelievable game, even though the Giants didn't have to play that thing straight up. And it gave the Giants all this confidence and everything. And the Buccaneers, with the prestige and everything that Tom brings to that team, the Cowboys should have won that game. They had the turnover margin. And now I think that game, it's weird to say the first game of the season, but that game, in a sense, a loss has helped catapult them. And I think it gave them tremendous confidence. And I think as Troy talked about, and I think he recognizes this, is this team in the past, we wonder who do they feed off of? And there's absolutely no doubt that everything comes from this quarterback. And he's unflappable, and even when he makes mistakes, but now they have a killer on the other side of the ball. And that's really something that we're so used to. We're trained to say in the NFL, oh, they have this great Aaron Donald, this great pass rusher, this defensive. We're trained to say the greatest players are these pass rushers. It's rare that we say the greatest player on a team or on a defense is the cornerback, because there just aren't that many great ones in the league.
Yeah.
And it appears the Cowboys have one. Now, you can get on to Garrett or the quarterbacks for the Giants and go, what in the world are you doing throwing at that guy? But yeah. The ease, I mean, think about that. Whether it be Revis, whoever we want to compare and go, Richard Sherman, whoever. And Sherman came out today and said, he's the defensive player of the year. Diggs right now is the defensive player of the year.
Yeah, I agree. But
Colin, you always sort of trust your eyes and talk about like how athletes look or the speed. And when you watch Diggs play the ball,
oh,
those
yeah.
are the things you're talking about. There's yeah. a natural, there's something that's happening that just not many guys have. And he has it.
So I would take New England plus 4 or plus 3.5. Here's why. So they're losing at home, but they're losing close. Mac Jones is efficient, completing 72% of his throws. They were missing 4 of their 5 offensive linemen against the Texans. They actually scored, I think, on 3 drives in a row at the end. So they come back healthy. Dallas is the only team in the league that has not played poorly. Everybody has a game when they pull back. This is your classic pullback team. I don't know if New England wins, but if you can get 4 points to me, this feels like a little bit of a coaching mismatch. New England is now healthier. Every game for Mac Jones, he feels a little more comfortable. And the Dallas defensive line is still hit and miss and banged up. I think I'd take the Patriots plus 4, even at plus 3.5.
Totally the sharp side in this game. It opened at 4.5. Wise guys hit it pretty hard. It got bet down to 3.5. 80% of the bets coming in on the Cowboys right now. All the signals are lining up to say bet the Patriots. What I would say is now that it's a 3.5, you might want to wait until Sunday, because while the wise guys are hitting it at 4, you're probably going to get a chance to see if it gets there again when the public comes in even harder on Sunday before this game. And bookmakers have no choice but to move the line up to 4. So that way the wise guys can come in and take it at 3.5. Because the liability for bookmakers, I know it's complicated, but they want their money spaced out, right? And if there's too right. much money coming in on the Cowboys at 3.5, they're going to have no choice but to move this line up to 4 just to balance it a little bit. Bookmakers don't mind making bets. They like having a winning side. It's how they increase their handle. But they'll be too overloaded on the Cowboys at 3.5. They'll have to move it up to get some balance. This is the all overrated, all overinflated game, right? Cowboys, 5-0 against the spread. The pros basically have this power rated at 3. So there's still a little bit of value here. But this Cowboys team, like, the turnover differential is due for aggression. Their success on first and second downs is due for aggression. The Cowboys' run defense, still not very good. Bottom 5 in pressure rate, right? The one thing that Mac Jones has a hard time handling as a rookie quarterback is pressure. So you've got a run defense against a team that likes to run the ball. You've got a defensive line that can't pressure the quarterback against a quarterback who doesn't struggle when he's not getting pressure. So, yes, Patriots are the right side.
All right, here's another one. Chargers plus 3 at the Ravens. I would take Los Angeles. Here's why. The Ravens were outplayed for about 3 quarters against the Colts. Now, one of the reasons Lamar had so much success playing from behind is the Colts secondary was a mess. Well, the Chargers, not only do they have Derwin James this year, but Asante Samuel is playing at a Pro Bowl level. So you forget the Colts really controlled this game in Baltimore for 2 hours, for 2 to 2.5 hours. The Chargers secondary playing with a lead is pretty darn good. You have a good pass rush. You have a great rookie corner. You have maybe the best safety in the game. I also think the Ravens, shorter week, coming off a dramatic win, standalone win, dramatic style, slightly overvalued. I take the Chargers and the points.
So the Ravens are the sharp side here. Couple different reasons. It's a really good team with a really good defense playing at home. And similar to the Cowboys, there's a little bit of overinflation on the Chargers. There's also a little bit of expected regression for the Chargers. Like, the Chargers have been living on a success rate of third and long of 58%. Okay? On fourth down, they're 8 for 8 in certain situations. Like, this is not sustainable, especially against a defense like the Ravens that can get pressure. It can get pressure when it's blitzing. It can get pressure when it isn't blitzing. And the Chargers consistently go for it when they're on third and long and fourth and long. And I don't think that's going to fly with a Ravens team that knows how to get out of those third and long, fourth and long situations. But also think about this. And this is where it gets very specific. This is a 3-point spread, right? The understanding is that this is going to be a close game. In a close game, do you want a kicker on the Chargers who not only is struggling to make field goals, is struggling to make PATs. Extra points versus a kicker for the Ravens who's one of the greatest kickers in NFL history? So you have special teams disadvantage. You've got a home team as a short favorite. You've got a really good defense. And the Ravens do have a really good running game, and the Chargers are terrible at stopping the run.
That's good. By the way, I'm noticing as I look at us on camera, I look like a magician. Look at this dark. I look like, don't I? Do I look like a magician?
No, I was actually noticing, I think you got a haircut and it looks fantastic.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
Let's do a magic. You want to do a magic trick?
Okay, let's do it.
Think of a number between 1 and 50.
Okay.
Well, I don't care what the number is.
I got it.
Double it.
Okay.
Add 22.
Got it.
Cut it in half.
Okay.
Take away the very first number you thought of from what you currently have.
Okay.
And you have 11.
No way. No way. Hold on. I'm circling it so you can see it. Can you see that?
Hey, Cowherd the Magnificent.
Colin the Magnificent in his super duper magician shirt just wowed me. Oh, that's incredible.
Okay. Well, it's something.
Nothing, no time wasted there, my friend. That was pure, entertainment.
At The Volume Sports, Twitter, Instagram, rate, review, subscribe, YouTube channel too. Talk soon.
The Volume.